Hello and welcome back to another installment of Now I Think About It. I'm your host, Stram, and I am glad to be back. I do apologize for the long hiatus, but I definitely should be getting back to work soon. So today, I'll be bringing you a book review, and this will not be your classic book review. How I'm going to set this up is basically by a couple different criteria. First, the criterion is relevance. I'm going to talk about how relevant the author is, what they've contributed to culture, what the book contributed to culture. Second lens we're going to look at it through is femininity. All of my authors will be both Black and be women, so be very conscious of, you know, writing styles and the nuances that go into cultural writing. And then thirdly, we're going to look at it through like a racial lens. How does the book itself reflect the context of society or the period in which it was trying to portray? So let's go ahead and get started. Okay, so using the book Beloved by Toni Morrison as a starting point, I'm going to go ahead and build a timeline for you guys. So my thesis of sorts is that Toni Morrison, through Beloved, highlights the cycle of abuse upon women by focusing on the role that Black women have in the home and the pressures that surround it. And each of the books I will be recounting will talk about the pressures, both societal and familial, that Black women often face inside and outside of the home. All right, so the first book I'm going to use is a very popular book in the Black community. I was awarded the benefit of reading this book from a class assignment, but I feel like it's a pretty hard-hitting piece of literature. The book is Beloved by Toni Morrison. It was originally produced and introduced to the market in 1987, and it basically is the story of a family in post-Civil War South, and they are battling the spirits that they can't see. And I'm just going to leave it at that so I don't become a big spoiler, because it's definitely worth the read. But the book basically depicts life in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and a few key concepts that I'm going to bring out of this book that still apply to life now are just the facts that instability leads to insanity. And I can note that in a couple different ways from the book and a couple different ways from like life as we know it now. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys a quote. This quote comes from Beloved. It is, "She collected every bit of life she had made, all the parts of her that were precious and fine and beautiful, and carried and pushed and dragged them through the veil, out, away, over there where no one could hurt them, over there outside this place where they could be safe." And the context of that quote is the veil basically represents a veil of protection, and outside of the veil of protection was basically mortality. So in the book, the main character does kill one of her children, spoiler alert, and in killing the child, basically, it is not so much an act of homicide, but like a mercy killing, if you will. She kills her child basically to keep it away from the evils of the world. And to look at it through the historical lens, this book is set in a post-slavery setting, or active slavery setting, rather. And when it comes to basically first-generational pain, a lot of times they are actively in the situation to still make sacrifices in order to ensure a safer life for them or the people that come after them or their lineage. And oftentimes, this is depicted through death, or a lot of people have to leave and come back. But in this particular book, death represents something both good and bad, which I think is very indicative of the Black culture. Death has always been, death or sacrifice has always been a part of our cultural identity, but we oftentimes make it something happy rather than sad, and we don't necessarily wallow in our pity or create more pity. This is still present to this day, but the bad thing about that is that attitude, some of the residual pain, can be passed down to our children and imprint upon our children, whether we do it consciously or subconsciously. All right, we're going to move on to our second book, moving in chronological order. The second book is one of my very favorites, and one like I've read far in the past and I've read many times since. So the book is called The Darkest Child by Dolores Phillips. This book is an account of the life and times of a little girl. Her name is Tangi May, and she is definitely something else. She's the middle of 8 children. Her mother is a harlot, to say the least. And between the abuse from her mother's childhood and abuse that her mother inflicted upon her brothers and sisters, all of them ended up having a varied gamut of personality traits. All of them carried themselves different ways, and all of their characters had different development. This leads me into the concept that oftentimes, whenever we are left to our own devices, children that are marginalized often pass that pain down to someone else. So this is the concept of hurt people hurt people. Whenever we have a negative imprint upon people, oftentimes they take that pain and turn it into other things. And in this story, her mother was a victim of abuse, and through their childhood, she inflicted heavy forms of abuse upon her own children. So let me go ahead and give y'all the quote. The quote is, quote, "She denied and feared God in the same breath. I truly believe that there was something unnatural about her, a madness that only her children could see. My yearning was not to understand it, but to escape it." And in this quote, you see that, but it's basically set up, you already understand, or it's kind of a given, the human condition, the relationship between a mother and a child. And in this relationship dynamic, it isn't so much love between the mother and the child, but it's fear. And that same fear comes from a lot of the abuse that was inflicted upon their mother, that she ended up projecting upon her children. So it becomes the next step of the cycle. It perpetuates the cycle even more, and it creates more hurt children, and it creates more toxic behavior for children to pass on down to their loved ones. Okay, moving on to my third and final book. Yes, I read all of these books. Yes, all of these books are about Black people, written by Black people, talking about Black people. So all these books, people cry to me and tell me, oh, I just can't ever find anything to read. I don't know what, what's not sparking your interest. But third and final book I'm going to use in my timeline is Salvage the Bones by Jasmine Ward. This novel was released in 2011, detailing the journey one girl made through the days leading up and after Hurricane Katrina. The main character, her name is Esh, and she is a girl in a world full of men, and she has no mother. She lives in a house with her father and her brothers, men are very dominant in her life and take a lot of control of her life because there is no presence of women, there is no presence of direction, there is no positive woman figure to kind of encourage her and teach her how to be a lady and how to carry herself and how to do the things that she should be doing. In this book, she befalls a couple bad fates. I'm not going to give it to you, or not going to spoil it for you, but she befalls a couple bad situations. It eventually resolves itself, but the resolution still isn't a resolution, to say the least. But it's a pretty good book. You guys should read it. The main theme I took out of the book is that the fact that there is a lack of supervision. There's a lack of women to actually, give Ish a proper know-how on how to carry herself. So I'm going to go ahead and give you guys the quote and tie that back into everything. All right, here's my quote. Quote, "I realized that if I was going to assume the responsibility of writing about my home, I needed the narrative to be ruthlessness." And that hit really hard for me because home is a place where people are supposed to be happy or supposed to be safe. But this, in this particular passage, she makes a very clear, conscious choice to depict her home as not peaches and cream. It's not the happy-go-lucky place that a lot of people imagine home as being. So when it comes to this novel, a lot of holes. It's walking through Hurricane Katrina in 2005. So a lot of situations in this book are very relevant to now. So it hasn't been that long. So a lot of situations are very relevant to now. So you can see the parallels between the character in the book and real life characters that we see every day that are out running the streets or, lacking supervision, looking to want to be ladies, but definitely don't even have the instruction. So when you look at books like Salvage the Bones, it is very telling about the current state of a society because the book was just produced in 2011. So it's still pretty fresh. And it has a whole lot of markers that indicate that it's very current. And it has a whole lot of markers that indicate that even in this current day and age, in the Black community, we still struggle to keep a family. We still struggle to have a home identity. We still struggle to keep everything together. So, as a recap, I basically built a timeline for you chronologically of concepts and key cultural elements of Black society that existed in both post-Civil War, civil rights, and current times. And I've shown you that there are still big grievances in our community that we carry down. Because you look back at post-Civil War America, there are still attitudes and negative misconceptions that they gave to us in America or on American soil, and African Americans passed it down as truth, and we have to break that cycle. We pass those negative, harmful traits down to our children, and eventually our children become bitter. Our children carry those on to our grandchildren, but even then, so carrying the burden in themselves, they are introduced to their own pain, having to face the same reality, they're introduced to their own pain, so it surmounts on top of each other. So when it is passed down to the third generation or the current generation, if you will, we're left searching, we're left looking. We don't have proper supervision, we don't have women looking out for us. We have sometimes our grandmothers that went through a lot of pain that are only around to protect us and want to shelter us from the pain that they've seen. Then we have mothers that were firsthand dealing with the trauma of having a mother that dealt with trauma. So therefore, they have residual pain from both their mothers and pain from their own journeys. And then it gets down to the children and they're left alone. So these three books, starting with Beloved, it shows that we perpetuate a cycle of negativity, especially amongst Black women, because inside of the Black home, there are a lot of unknown foreign concepts to other cultures that are, the way of the land. And inside of every culture, there are, contexts and subcontexts that only a person part of that culture would understand. And inside of the Black home, there are so many small nuances that you must pick up on. So, with all that being said, all I can say is that yes, we do have a very negative, very ugly past. The only thing that can make that past worth it is giving us a better future. So, whenever we are firsthand to receive the abuse, we need to be mindful to not pass it down to our children. We need to be mindful to not try to protect our children in a way as such that we hurt them rather than help them. Whenever we do have children, be sure to make sure not to take your issues and your pain out on those children, because when you hurt those children, they'll hurt other people in the long run. It hurt people, and it will only be so degrading for the Black community to continue to have people to tear us down from the inside out. Finally, when it comes to being a woman, looking at it through the lens of femininity, when it comes to being a woman, one of the biggest parts about not only carrying yourself well is being a role model for the next woman and making the next woman feel as if she has someone to look up to or a common idea that she can strive for that is better than the best. So, as Black women, we must do our due justice and our due diligence to pass our know-how and our finesse onto someone younger than us, onto someone that may not have the same opportunities as us, so that we can help to keep all of our community on the same page and keep everyone living communally and with peace. All right, y'all, I am left with nothing else to say but thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for everybody that supports. My podcasting may not be consistent, but it definitely comes from the heart. I only make content when it really hits me. So be looking out sporadically. Follow me on everything. Wherever you find my podcast, you definitely can be in contact with me to follow me. And just for a little drop time, my Instagram account is Strambler, Strambler. And I basically will follow you back there and you can talk to me freely. That's the handle that I'm most likely to respond on. And yeah, so thank you so much again. Thank you for the platform. And just be on your toes. Stay woke. Don't be selfish. Think of the role that you play in a society that is yet bigger than you. So, thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back to you soon.